essence personified, and I will drag you down and sell you out. Run away. I am cold like December snow.
G'day everyone, and welcome to another episode of On The Turnbuckle here on mypodcasthouse.com or whatever you listen to your podcast on. Thank you for joining us, Walshy. Hello to you.
Very good, eh, Tony? Are you going to upload the correct podcast this week? Because last week, some of our listeners, or the week before, tried to listen to the show, and what were they greeted with?
On the grid, Bathurst talk. It took him a while.
I got a message from Royce Chambers, and he's like, I was waiting for the interview. I'm like, what's going on? Why are they talking about motorsport? And then come on, Royce. If it doesn't start with very good A, it's not us.
Yeah. My sincere apologies for that. The people had to endure the most popular podcast on mypodcasthouse.com.
I tell you what, though, that's the best ratings that you've ever had.
There's a lot of crossover bands.
Nick Galea was loving it. He loved his motorsport.
It was on Bathurst weekend as well. Like, what a preview, he said.
Yeah, absolutely perfect. How you been, boss?
I've been well, mate. I had a busy weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah, I went to a collectibles fair with my son. Got a boatload of...
Went to a toy shop. How was it?
It was a fair. It was a market. And I got a lot of wrestling figures that I needed on my checklist. So... I think I've got about 30 wrestling figures that are in boxes waiting to be opened one weekend.
Did you have a look and see if any of my pops were there?
I did, actually. And it was good by you, Tony, because I did message you saying, hey, mate, which ones do you need? Good deal, $5.
And I did message you back.
Yeah, and now I was already driving home. Like, well, I'm not doing a U-Bolt. I think
shit from you, Lyle.
Yeah,
You know I'd do it for you.
I don't think you would, Tony.
No, I would. Of course I would.
No. Talking to the person who drove to get me turf when I had COVID. Tony would do it for you.
I didn't have COVID. I don't even know if I've had it yet.
No, you definitely have had it. Yeah. You've definitely both had it.
Well, that makes a couple of us this week.
Triple H too.
Yeah. See how he goes.
So you said I've got it now.
Well, I don't know, mate. You've been coughing before we started recording.
I'll tell you. You cough during this show and ruin. If you ruin when we talk about the next shows coming up, I'll be so upset at you, Tony.
No, I'll see. I'll try and hold off. I promise you, I will try and hold off.
Hit the cough button. You're a professional.
Who was our last guest?
Oh, no, it seemed like a year ago.
Two guests last show, didn't
we? We had a run in from Drunk
Uncle Billy. We had a great guest, Lindsay Howarth.
Oh, yes.
He was fantastic.
Could listen to him. We could actually do a full interview one day, I think, if he didn't.
I thought we did.
Well, he got cut off halfway through that piece of shit. And I said it to his face.
Yeah.
Well, and he said, we said it back to you.
Well, I mean, I didn't hear him have a go at me at all.
Yeah.
It was pretty one-sided.
I'm looking forward to him to gate crash a wedding coming up next year, Tony. Yes. I think he'd be welcomed.
Yeah. And I'm in shake soul that him in.
There you go.
Do you know MCs, they tend not to stand at the door deciding who comes in and out?
I'll stand at the door then.
Yeah, no, he'll be security.
Yeah.
I'll just do the introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome...
I'm changing the venue.
The best man.
Imagine how drunk I'm going to be giving you best man speech. Telling the best man to sit down.
That would be funny.
That would be good.
That'd be a great way to offend
you. If you can get it through past Steph, it can happen.
No, that's not gonna happen.
Sorry, Beach.
Plus, he wouldn't want to come. He hates me. He made it clear.
Free alcohol, he'll be there.
That's true.
Let's get into our first guest. All right, boys, time to have a chat to our guest. Right. And he's another one of those young talents in Australia.
My favourite, Tony. My favourite.
Am I allowed to finish what I was saying?
Don't interrupt him. He's trying to do his intro.
Okay, go.
I'll stick up
for him. He's Welshy's favourite. It's Jarvis, and he joins us on the line now. Hello, Jarvis.
G'day, lads. How are we?
Excellent. Thank you, mate. How are you?
I'm pretty good, you know, living life at large. Another day goes by, another paycheck rolls in. I'm just living my life.
It's a very pragmatic one.
Tony gets 7 paychecks a week because he's got 7 jobs.
Lucky him. Must be rolling in the bank then.
I know there's 50,000 free jobs out there. Anyone can go and get 7 jobs.
You're not wrong.
Most of them are volunteering, like this one.
That's true.
The high prize one.
Mate, 2022, a full year of wrestling under your belt. How's the body held up?
It's been all right. It's been a bit of a weird shift to schedule, especially after the 2 years of COVID, not being able to wrestle too much. So coming back in this year, needing to train up my body again, as I think everyone did, besides probably Barry O'Leary, I should say. I got a little bit chubby, a bit fat, so I needed to make sure that in the next show that I came to, I was ring ready. So started to try to pump out the gym as much as possible, try to do as much home stuff as possible. But, you know, this year's been a fun year. I got to kind of spread my wings a little bit and go a few other places. So I was quite excited by that promise. And I feel like 2023 is going to be the year of Jarvis. But that's just, you know, my small prediction.
As a young guy who's basically ready, like COVID didn't come at a good time for anyone, but as a young guy who's ready to make his mark, like how frustrating was it for you?
The thing is, you can get frustrated as much as you want. It is what it is at the end of the day. You don't ever expect stuff like a whole pandemic worldwide to happen. So, I mean, yes, was it annoying? I guess so. But it also made, coming back to the ring and coming back to the world of professional wrestling a lot more exciting. It gave a good spark under my belt and made me want to kickstart things a bit harder throughout the year of 2022 for sure.
And you spoke about spreading your wings. How did you go about that? Do you reach out to other promotions or they hit you up? And how's that getting yourself out there?
It's a bit of a weird one. Just before COVID, I tried to reach out to a lot of promotions interstate. Sorry, I was having a bit of a drink. So I try to spread my wings a little bit throughout 2020, just before COVID hit. To go interstate, try to get a few promotions there. No one was really buying it back because I don't think there was a very minimal amount of Jarvis going around to places, so not a lot of people will see my work. But I think connections throughout, the past kind of year and a half has helped me spread those wings a little bit more, especially in the Melbourne scene. People like Rowdy and Mikey sending me off to other places to get opportunities really helped me. I remember, and this is a massive shout out to Rowdy. Rowdy messaged me about putting me into the Ascension tournament, actually. So he was the whole reason I was able to get in contact with MCW. He put me into a group chat with the promoter of MCW, and obviously they had the Ascension tournament kind of teeing up. So I got the opportunity then, and there's a video of me I sent to a few people, and I was just running around the room ecstatic because I never thought in my wildest dreams that I'd be at an MCW show, especially, coming from, the PCW kind of bubble, as some people like to say it. But as you've seen over the past few years, there's been a lot of people coming and spreading their wings, especially throughout PCW and into other promotions, which I'm really excited for. And obviously Mikey has been a massive help. He's one of those guys.
No, don't cut off all of our questions.
Oh, sorry. The issue is, if you've seen me wrestle, I like to ramble and I'll talk about stuff. So cut me off whenever you need to cut me off, because otherwise I'll just keep talking. I love hearing myself, my own voice, you know?
That's not a bad thing. Let's talk about that MCW, like appearing at the Thornbury Theatre. And you haven't been in a lot of locker rooms outside of your home promotion. You're a confident guy. Was it daunting at all to walk in there? And how did you approach it?
Absolutely. I mean, I can't even remember who was on that show exactly, but I think you had the likes of the Philippes on the show. You had Velocities on the show. I think they opened actually the show from memory. There was a whole bunch of people in the back that I have only met maybe once, or not at all. And that experience, I guess, going into it was very daunting. I'm a very shy guy when it comes to new experiences. especially meeting new people, I kind of stay within my own bubble and will kind of do my own thing. I'll, you know, do the general highs and hellos, and, you know, sometimes they're not going to remember me because you'd say that through to everyone in the wrestling business. You kind of go, hello, how are you? You ask your name and then you leave, and, you know, only a certain few people will remember that. But for me, going into that locker room, it was different. It was unique. It was a fun experience, though. Everyone back there was so friendly and so nice, and something I guess I didn't expect with the high caliber of talent that was in that locker room.
The Ascension Tournament's a perfect name for a tournament of guys coming through. There's so many at the moment in your age group, give or take, you know, a year or two either side, that are coming through and will serve wrestling well for the next 10 to 20 years.
Is there a question there?
Yeah, I feel it. Yeah.
There
it's
is
a great statement.
such as Murdoch, Emin, those sort of guys. Do you look forward to the next 10 or 20 years with these blokes?
I can't wait. I mean, obviously we are seeing, I guess, the legend status of people like Slex, people like Brooksy. You know, they're making their claim to that top spot. And for us younger guys, like Murdoch, like Emin, and even Aisha, those guys are going to be pretty special to me because of what's happening at Renegades. But I'm excited because I know that other people that I've met, especially at PCW alone, like JJ, like Ryan, like I'm going to have names escape me. Kendo is a massive one as well. These guys I've trained with, I've almost grown up like wrestling and beginning my career with, and these guys are the future of Australian wrestling, just like myself.
Yeah. Tony mentioned the names, which is awesome because it's a good segue. At Renegades, teaming up with Aisha, Murdoch, and Emin, who you know all of them so well, how exciting is that as that next wave coming through to sort of be booked to have a chip on your shoulder?
I don't know. It's hard to describe in words. For us to have the opportunity to work together as a team is something I don't think I never thought I'd be a part of. Murdoch and Aisha, I met at the PCW Academy back when I first started, and they would already be wrestling for, I want to say, maybe 2-3 years at that point, maybe a little bit less. And they were the people that I think really kind of brought me in and brought me that sense of community and friendship as well. Sorry, I'm like half burping from the cider that I'm drinking. They, between them and then Emin as well, Emin has been a guy that I've wrestled a lot more than I actually thought I did. I was his first match at PCW. I think we then had another match at PCW. Obviously, we had our MCW match. There's a lot of history between me and Emin. And I think for us, that group and this foundation we're bringing to Renegades as the future talent is something that I'm so privileged to be a part of, and so excited by the premise of us being together as a group. I mean, me and Murdoch are currently in the tag tournament for the PCW tag titles. And listen, Murdoch, I could not speak more above about how great he is in ring, but not only as a person himself as well. He's just everything that you see outside of the ring. He is all the time just that person, such a genuine, nice guy. And then when he turns it on, man, like, you can't stop him. And I think us as a team and as a tag team, which is something that is going to be completely new to me, but not new to him, is something that I'm going to rely on a lot on. So I cannot wait for what we have in store for yous.
Well, she said, you know, the chip on the shoulder and everything like that. And if anyone's ever seen you wrestle live, you're quick-witted in the ring and you love bantering with the crowd. The person in Melbourne wrestling or Australian wrestling that reminds me of is Indy Hartwell when she was here. She was amazing at live shows. Does that come naturally? Like, you working towards that? Because you said you were shy before, but once you're in the ring, it's not shy at all.
Yeah, it's a weird dynamic. You get a lot of wrestlers that I think I've listened to a lot of podcasts and a lot of different interviews from other wrestlers. Like, backstage, you can be almost a completely different person. And then once you're in that ring, you are switched on, and it's something just overtakes you. I don't know if it's the crowd, audience, or just being in the moment and realizing that you need to switch on almost this persona of yourself that you don't realize you have in the back of your head. So the quick-witted nature of me, I don't know, I'm always a bit of a I don't know how much I can swear in this, but
as much as you want.
Oh, okay, I'm a bit of a smart ass a lot of the times, and a bit of a quick-witted dickhead.
Hey, enough of that, please.
Oh, sorry. I'll keep it a bit more PG, mate. No, it's just fun. I don't know. I find it so exciting to be in the ring and be able to talk so much shit to people, because realistically, at the end of the day, I'm not going to really care about if you liked me or not, or if you cared about my wrestling. What I got to do was just talk shit to people for no particular reason besides to talk shit. And that to me is just fun in itself. Like, the wrestling can come second, but to be able to just turn around and someone's saying something about me, I'm just like, what are you talking about? Shut up. Did I ask your opinion? No. Be quiet. Sit down. Watch me wrestle, because that's what I'm best at. And you're in that seat for a reason. So I don't know. It's just one of those things that it's just a bit of me.
Can you be able to relate, Tony? It's something that happened a lot in the old days that sort of doesn't happen as much now. And because there's not as much talk from heels to the crowd, it makes you stand out.
Yeah, it was something that I think I didn't realize until I turned heel or turned to a bad guy. It was such an untapped market that no one was doing. And there were certain promotions that I got told, you know, you got to make sure, like, you're coming from PCW, which is a crowd that feeds off that kind of banter back and forth between the people inside the ring and outside the ring. And I got told at certain promotions, like, don't overdo it. We've seen people like you do it before and it just doesn't work. And for me, I think there's just a good sweet spot where I will talk enough shit that I can back it up enough that I will be able to go, all right, we hate this dude. He's an absolute dickhead and an absolute, we want to boom. We want to make sure people are cheering. And I think the way that came across in some certain matches that I've had is just perfect to me, because I like, me personally, going out of kayfabe, I love to put over baby faces. I love to be the bad guy to someone's face. I like to make sure that someone else, like a Kendo especially, my memory goes back to the Carnage match that we had for the Slam title. The amount of story that went into that, with us being partners for a little bit, training in the academy, working up together to go to Ignition to work and get for the title. For me, even though I won that match, which is amazing because I'm the fucking best, but for me to have matches later that would put over certain talent, I felt so much joy out of that, because that was the funnest part, being able to get the crowd to get so into and invested into this babyface because I'm such a dickhead. That's, I think, such a missing form personally for me, in the wrestling business at the moment. Everyone does the cool stuff, and I can do the cool stuff as well, but it's also about how to put over the other people in the ring as well.
And it's hard to be a babyface in modern times. Like, being a clean skin, the crowds sometimes don't go with the babyface. So the importance of someone to bring heat, real heat, so that to help the babyface get over, it's really important. And I'm glad that you see that already.
Yeah, I mean, recently I've been training with Lockie Hendricks a lot, which, you know, as you guys know, he's tremendous in the ring and the shit talking that he does alone. So learning a lot from him and learning how to put certain pieces in and out of me talking stuff, like talking a lot of shit, is what I need to fine tune a lot more. So we've had practice matches, and it's just like, sometimes I'll just talk too much shit. And it's like, all right, I got to turn it down. I got to figure out what that sweet spot is between talking shit and actually wrestling as well. So that way there's a good medium. And then hopefully when the crowd starts getting really behind that baby face, it just skyrockets out of the room and blows off the roof.
You're right. The default persona for every wrestler, for the fan, is as a heel, because the fan goes to the wrestling to boo and all that sort of stuff. So you're right. It's so much harder for a baby face to actually get over, because it's not natural.
Especially if you don't hate the heel.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, exactly. 2023, you declared just 7 minutes ago, is going to be the year of Jarvis. What's going to happen in 2023 for you?
Oh, listen, that's for me to know and you to find out. That's a secret business, my friend. Listen, 2023, I think, will be the catalyst for a lot of us younger guys. I think with promotions like the MDU, I think getting their own facility soon, PCW, now that they've had the year back from COVID, same with MCW, Renegades popping off in Melbourne. There's a lot of stuff in Melbourne at the moment that is, I think, in 2023, not only just for me alone, but for the rest of the scene, is going to help push it and thrive it to what it was pre-COVID, and that was one of the best wrestling areas in the country, in the world, I should say. Sorry, like, you had the UK fall off because of all the NXT UK and all of that type of stuff, but Australia was still thriving. It's just that no one was really paying attention. I feel like in 2023 and years on, that will only increase until people really start taking notice.
You mentioned him earlier, but Mikey J, when he went down to PCW just after COVID, and you had like a different set of eyes and a different experienced and talented wrestling person in the locker room talking to you young people. What did that mean? How did that help everybody?
Well, it's one of these things where you don't really know the importance of a person until you meet that person. So Mikey, I didn't think I fully understood who Mikey was until I heard whispers backstage that he was coming to join us, that he was going to help out with, you know, certain things behind the scenes. Sorry. But to have him backstage and give his takes and his own opinion and his own thoughts about certain characters and moments and spots and matches alone, it was refreshing. It was something new that I think a lot of talent at PCW really needed. I think it was one of those things where no one realized that they needed it until it was there. It was one of those situations. And for me, Mikey, I feel like I impressed Mikey, and I'm glad I did, because it was something that I think has helped me as a wrestler increase in performance, as well as have a connection that makes me feel like I can really do this now. I mean, he's been around the scene way longer than me, probably more than my age at this point. And for him to be, yes. So for him to kind of see me and feel like he's got something, he knows what to do with me, almost was something special, and something that I don't think I felt up until that point. I didn't think I had, there was a lot of times throughout COVID where I didn't think I really had what it take to do a lot of the wrestling stuff. And it wasn't until Mikey kind of backed me up and said, no, you've got something. We just need to fine tune these things to make you a better performer and a better wrestler. And then, you know, give you 2, 3, 4 more years, or fucking 10 more years, you'll be skyrocketed to the moon. And hopefully Mikey's prediction comes true as well.
Are you a fan of the mullet?
No. Fuck off the mullet. I hate the mullet. The mullet might be the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. I am outraged that it has come back into style, Australian style. But to be fair, it's only bogans that wear it. So, I mean, realistically, they're degenerates. So that is what it is.
Mikey has a terribly good mullet.
Oh, right. I'm going to be honest, I forgot Mikey had a mullet. I only see Mikey from the front on. I don't really see the behind. I don't see the party at the back. I only see the business in the front.
The party at the back's just for Wrestle Rock.
Oh, yeah.
Now, next week you have a big match at PCW against BDE at Halloween Horror.
Yes.
We're big fans of BDE.
We're
borderline talking terms at the minute. Yeah, we've had a little bit of a falling out.
Where do you stand on the fillet of fish?
That's what I want to know. Do you like the fillet of fish, or
is it shit?
I mean, back when I was 12, maybe, like, when I liked fake fish, but like, if you want an actual fish burger, maybe go to a fish and chip shop and actually get some actual fish, not some processed garbage from Macca's. Hey, listen, all to the BDE boys. If they want to eat garbage, they can eat garbage.
Well,
so you're going to beat the fillet of fish out of them at PC?
Oh, you'll be seeing burgers of fillet of fish spewing out of their guts after I'm sorted with them, or me and Murdoch sorted with them. They'll be spewing out that. They'll be getting rid of all the tartare sauce in their mouth. It's going to be a bit grim, but you know, it is what it is.
On the turnbuckle, big fans of The Ambush. Big fans.
Big fans.
BDE, not sure.
I'm a Murdoch fan and a big Jarvis fan, so it stands to really win.
Yep. Yeah.
Can I just put a disclaimer here? The words of my colleagues are not necessarily those of all of us here on the Turnbuckle.
Well, you don't like Murdoch or Jarvis.
Well, I feel like it's a 2 out of 3. I think there's a democracy here that you've gotten overtaken by 2 of the 3,
yeah,
components. So I'm unlucky, mate. It does.
You both, he's one.
I'm just happy that Lyle's off the fence for a change.
They've just got to remember it's my house and I'll tell my mum not to open the door next time.
There must be a list the length of your arm of people you want to get in the ring with. If you could choose your next 3 opponents, people you've never wrestled, who would they be in Australia?
Oh, jeez.
I know. You didn't prepare.
No, I didn't. You guys didn't give me any chance to prepare. I just came into the call and you're like, we're just going to hit you with questions. And I'll be like, all right, cool.
We don't prepare, so.
Yeah. 3 wrestlers that I haven't wrestled before. Brooksy's one of them. Brooksy is just a talent. I'm so surprised that he still hasn't been signed somewhere. So if I can have a match with him before he buggers off to another country for a bit, I'd love that. Velocities.
Who'd you say?
Velocities, definitely one that me and Murdoch, I think, will have an outstanding match with. So I mean, I don't know if that counts as 3, but I'll say it's 2. I'll say it's 2. That's 1 team. Yeah, that's 1 team and a person. Third person. Mick Moretti, actually. I would love to have a match with Mick Moretti. I think he is such an interesting character and an interesting wrestler. I'd love to see me try to talk as much shit as I could as he, like, laughs, like, hysterically. I think we'd absolutely banter in that ring, but yeah, I'll say those 3. I'll maybe come back to me in a month and it might change, but you know, those 3 at the moment.
Yeah, but to see the Jarvis character getting frustrated by the unorthodox style of Moretti, and mind games not going your way, that would be a good story, actually.
Yeah, I think it'd be a bit of fun, bit of bands. But real quick, let's reel it back. I think we skipped over too fast. We are gonna beat BDE at the Halloween show. I don't think you guys understand the levels that me and Murdoch are on. Like, we have got such good chemistry that I need to come back to this so that way BDE can hear this and they can get scared out of their friggin' brains. I mean, yes, they've won titles other places, but this is our home promotion. This is where we are breaded from, and this is where the company that we started at, and this is no easy feat for BDE. I mean, they might have issues with Castone and, you know, whoever, but like they're overpassing us. They think too far ahead when they're not thinking what's right in front of us. And I can't wait till I smash their dumb little brains in, because they might have as much energy as they want, but they're not on the levels that me and Murdoch are at. Sorry, I just wanted to go back to that because I feel like
I will make sure that the boys get a copy of that little segment.
Man, I'll message to them personally. I'll be like, listen, boys, you guys are stuffed. Get out of the ring. Call it quits before you even enter. I'm just saying, I mean, that's just me, though.
Mate, we wish you all the best for the rest of this year and beyond. As we said, you're a great talent, as there are a lot of great talents around at the moment, but to stand out amongst that is pretty well done. So congratulations to you, and good luck against BDE this weekend and, as we said, in the future. Week. Next weekend.
Thank you. Next weekend, that's it. Buy a ticket to pcw.com.au. Make sure you watch, because I'm going to beat the living little shit out of these 2 numbnuts of a tag team. But, you know, upwards and onwards. Thanks for having me, boys. And hopefully I can be back on soon.
I suspect you'll be pretty regular.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm free any time, so just give me a booty call and I'll be over.
Beautiful. Lovely. That is Jarvis joining us right here on the Turnbuckle.
Welcome to intermission. Yeah, intermission. Ah.
welcome back. Second segment of the program. I hope you enjoyed once again the Offspring's intermission. That is our regular halftime music now. Hope you are enjoying it, as we said. Let's get into other parts of the program. Boys, before we do that, Jarvis, good young kid.
Oh, I love Jarvis. I think he's got a huge future and just gets it for a young guy and wants to get better. And yeah, that's all you can ask.
There is an amazing amount of talent, though, in that age group, isn't there? That, like, 20 to 25, 26-year-olds.
Yeah. I think now that we've had a bit of consistency this year, we're going to see the fruits of that, you know, maybe the start of next year, because we were robbed of the couple of years that, you know, we shut down. You know, and some of these young guys and girls that are coming through, I think.
In every state, too.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's Australia-wide. 2023 is going to be a big one for Australian wrestling.
Jericho and Moxley and contract talks. What's happening there?
They've signed.
Oh, there AEW. You go.
That's it. Moxley for 5 years and Jericho for 3.
So it'll take him to what, 72?
72, probably another. Well, he's got another few more runs in him.
They, now they're expanded roles. They're not just wrestlers,
coaches.
It hasn't worked out traditionally for AEW having expanded roles. But I think these two are probably a bit better suited for it.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, yeah, well, yeah, the talk was Moxley didn't even try and negotiate with WWE, you know, where he probably could have. You know, he's in a handy position. You know, I think the...
He was there wrestling out of contract for a while too.
Yeah, he's a legitimate free agent, which is weird that it didn't come out until afterwards. So well played, TK. Didn't feed the
Now it's all looking after him.
Yeah.
Moxley found a great way of getting rid of one of his competitors, Adam Page. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. Well, you've moved on from the contract stuff. Dragging the Hangman getting knocked out.
No, it's a sort of all part of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the run sheet.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So unfortunate in the title match in John Moxley's hometown. Big lariat, and you could hear the thud of the lariat.
Huge.
But I think it was the way he came down on the somersault, landing on the side of his head. But it was a scary moment.
Has there been a?
He might genuinely be an empty-headed fuck after that.
Yeah. Big CM Punk fan over here.
Has there been any update?
Concussion, and he's been released. Okay.
Released from AEW. Wow. That's harsh.
Triple H man all the way, this guy. He's been released from a medical center.
Oh, okay.
I think the
medical facility.
It's a concussion. So, you know, he's in concussion protocol at the minute.
Yeah.
Well handled by the doctor. Basically getting in between straight away, Moxley know that they're like, hey, this is, he's not right.
Moxley didn't look right either, actually. He looked like he might have hurt himself in the process of the whole thing. I don't know whether that was kayfabe or not, but he was down for a fair bit also.
Moxley?
Yeah.
I think he was just buying time for Hangman to actually find out what is actually happening. But, yeah, stopping the match straight away and, you know.
It's handy to have someone like MJF backstage that you can send out to actually stall some time. But look, with the concussions, obviously it's good to see the companies taking them a bit more seriously because Adam Cole, he's still not back from his.
Yeah, and obviously they're all varying in degrees. Like we've seen Daniel Bryan not get cleared for so long and he was seeing independent doctors and everything like that. You know, like even in the NFL in the last couple of weeks with the Miami quarterback.
Well, they brought him back.
Yeah, look, he staggered on the field and then they put him back in that same game, which is, like, it's a billion-dollar industry and it can, you know, it can happen there.
And especially with all the stuff that's going around about that.
And then he played 4 or 5 days later as well and then copped another hit.
Yeah.
He still hasn't been released out of concussion protocol. So, and wrestling has always been the match should go on and continue and fight through it and all that. But I think we're past that. We can't, you know, even if it disrupts storyline and everything like that, you can fix that all up later. Obviously, he's a father. Yeah, he's a husband.
Yeah.
He's a friend. He needs to be right. So, however long it takes for him to come back, you know.
All right. We wish him all the best in that comeback. For Hangman, Adam Page, Bray Wyatt, and his return.
He's back.
Yes, he is.
He's back. He's got his, what is it, the other five
characters?
We don't know yet.
Yeah. Well, it's the White Six.
That hasn't been confirmed. Yeah.
Oh, isn't it?
Suspected.
Oh, okay. Oh, I mean, they showed all the characters in his reveal, which I thought was really well done. At Extreme Rules. Obviously, yeah. we weren't on last week to talk about it. Really well shot. And I think it's all in the follow up. Obviously, wrestling fans love surprises and even though we knew it was Bray Wyatt by the end of it, and he was probably going to be at Extreme Rules. I thought they did it really well. But yeah, it's
well, if they do this group of six, like who are we suspecting's in it?
No, like where do you get? Older guys back.
Well, I think people have been around. I think his brother.
Yeah.
He's been apparently re-signed. Eric Rowan would probably have to be in the conversation.
It's almost a no-brainer. He's a free agent. Him going back. He's got size. I think Braun's gone past that.
Braun, they can't do it with
Braun. You can't go back on him. If you get a couple of veteran guys like Eric Rowan, and then but you bring in one guys.
Have you heard that? I heard that Grayson Waller's been touted as potentially one of the people they might use. So,
well, he's got a pretty big acting range as well. And, he can do skits and stuff like that. Where do they want to utilize that? But yeah, it's all in the follow up of how they go forward.
Yeah, like, don't fuck it up again, please.
Yeah, like even I think it was Seth only a couple of weeks ago talking out of character about. No one comes out of a fiend feud good.
Yeah.
So it's all in the execution. So yeah. Good to see him back.
Good promo. I'm gonna give WWE a little bit of slack here when you say don't fuck it up again, please. I don't know if they did the last time.
Oh, they did.
I'm not sure if it was their fault. I think it just got to a point where it just kept on going and going and they couldn't bring it back.
They were the ones who let it keep going.
No, you're right. That's a fair point.
A horror character who you can't kill and then have him lose matches. It doesn't make sense. So you don't put a title on him. Like Vince fucked that up.
Yeah. I think if they stay away from the horror and he's just the creepy split Florida swamp guy, you can go lean into the creepy side stuff.
Creepy is better than magic.
Magic, it just didn't work. Like the big mallet. I've got that in my head. Was it a Hell in a Cell with Seth? The giant mallet. Like, it was just...
So...
That's not what I want to see.
I mean, watching Liv Morgan sort of, when she wrestled Ronda Rousey recently and her face sort of started, she started to smile as she getting choked out. So, I mean, maybe she's got a role to play in this. Who knows?
Yeah, I think so. But, whatever they're paying him, they're going to make up in merchandise.
Oh,
because he's a big action...
Oh, you saw the crowd. They were happy to see him.
Oh, of course.
100%.
Triple H. Do you reckon they could have a Rumble 1 year and it's just 29 versions of Bray Wyatt come out?
I wouldn't mind seeing that. Like, their faces are folded.
29 faces of Wyatt.
Be interesting. But he still loses.
Yeah, he would. To Braun.
Triple H, will you making any decisions ringside? He might be in his bedside, though, as he has COVID.
Yeah. Zoom managing.
Yeah.
Teams. That'll be the...
Teams gorilla position.
Yeah.
Microsoft gorilla.
Yeah. You'd assume after his health scare last year that he'd be taking all the precautions and taking this real serious. Like, obviously, you don't want COVID at the best of times, let alone coming off a heart issue.
That's still a thing.
COVID. Well, I don't know. Well, now that I know Triple H has got it, he's the first person I've heard in the last few months. But no, in all serious.
You don't work in recruitment.
No. All serious. Don't rush back. Make sure you're right. He's still in a stressful job. He's not going to be around. But there's Teams, there's Zoom. I think he can still get the day-to-day stuff.
Maybe you could have a fillet of fish just to sort of cheer him.
Well, that's going to make him worse. That might kill him. That could undo the good surgery the surgeon did on his heart.
I don't understand your hatred of fillet of fish.
Tony, is a fillet of fish better than a Big Mac?
No.
Okay, so it's worse.
Is it better than a quarter pounder?
No.
So that's worse.
Yeah.
Is it better than a McChicken?
No, McChickens are quite nice, actually.
They are. Yeah.
We agree with you, Tony. The fillet of fish is the worst burger at McDonald's.
Yeah. I'm with you, Tony. I'm on your side.
I said that.
Cheeseburger? Come on, Tony.
Oh, it's better than cheeseburger.
Oh, I'm serious.
Triple cheeseburger.
Triple cheeseburger, I don't mind.
Can't be better.
No, it's better than
cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger's the vital second burger in your order.
But Hungry Jack's is better than all of them.
Well, that's fine. Now you're getting some answers.
Hungry Jack's open.
Yeah. Do they have a fish burger at Hungry Jack's?
No.
That's why the burgers are better.
Hungry Jack's open.
Yeah, just because of that.
Is there any fish in the fillet of fish?
There's something white in there.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, I don't know how much chicken is in the McDonald's chicken nuggets.
Now, I've got an issue because there's a, I'm going to call it a plague in wrestling of people ordering fillet of fishes at McDonald's as their main burger of chicken.
Really? That's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. And BDE and Matt Hayter are the prime culprits, let's just say. But it's gathering steam.
Yeah.
And I was really disappointed on the weekend.
We've been champions of BDE since the start. We have, that's correct. Yeah.
We love them.
We've probably number one
on the way here. You know what I didn't order? Fucking fillet of fish.
Yeah. Well, so disappointed is an understatement to these guys backing the fillet of fish. It's embarrassing. I thought Matt Hayter was a lot smarter than that. You know, he's probably been the standout wrestler in the country.
Well, I think he might be suffering from rabies after that bite from Gore.
Well, hang on.
Well, then maybe you should rub a fillet of fish on the one.
Bloke I never thought I'd see eating a fillet of fish.
I didn't even know we wanted to bring this. The ringleader.
I think he could be the ringleader because he trains.
Yeah.
BDA. He's in Mount Rushmore. But to see JXT getting a, I thought JXT would be a burger with all meat and nothing else in it kind of.
Yeah.
Operator.
Give me an extra slice of cheese.
You've named some pretty cool guys here. Maybe the fillet of fish is starting to trend.
Tony, it's not.
They might be cool guys, but if they're going to be in trendsetters with the fillet of fish, they're not trendsetters, mate.
Mm. Yeah. Dusk is involved with this.
No.
I might say. Dusk, who I thought was an intellectual.
He's a creative genius.
Yeah.
Just shit taste.
Someone.
It's in, like, I don't know. Hear me out on this, Tony. You know how McDonald's do the limited time only burgers?
Yeah.
McFeast.
McFeast, that's my favorite. Where is that?
Why can't they make, you can get a fillet of fish if you want, if you're wrong.
You can get it one day a year.
Go and get it on a Good Friday.
I'll
accept that.
I'll allow it.
I'll accept that. That's fine. Yeah, because.
I'd still rather just eat chips.
Look, you could easily just get a hamburger. No one's going to tell your mum. You're an adult now. We've moved on from that stuff. They're playing footy on the game. You don't have to get a fillet of fish. But if you were, get it then. Oh, and then the Saturday, you bring back the McFeast. Yeah? And but just have that.
They need to bring permanently. The El Maco is the greatest burger ever at McDonald's.
Now we're talking.
Like, I reckon they only take that off the menu so that I don't eat McDonald's 365 days of the year. I'd have it for Christmas.
Yeah. I've got one other burger, Tony. I want to throw it out there to these.
This is going to be controversial.
These three or four guys with their wrong opinion that they are totally allowed to have. That's fine. And Tony, don't let me down here. What is your thought on the McRib?
It's disgusting, isn't it?
But if they brought it back and it was cut there tomorrow, you'd have one, wouldn't you?
No.
You wouldn't? Oh, you've learned your lesson.
Yeah.
I've fallen for it at least six times.
That's what I mean. People in the past, you get a bit of fun. Yeah. Like, the McRib's back. And then you have it and you're like, why it's not here.
It's a McRib for rib in between two buns.
There's no actual rib in it.
Yeah.
No.
It's a great marketing ploy by McDonald's. Well done. Obviously, they're successful at what they do. I believe these guys, the fillet of fish
crew, Posse,
yeah, they might be McRibbers.
Well, they're McRibbing us, you reckon, when they're eating a fillet of fish. You know what's got the same texture as a fillet of fish? Mashed potato.
Yeah.
It is. There's nothing there.
Crumb to mashed potato?
Well, I can't. It's just.
Yeah. Oh.
If I drove through.
I'm going to go get one tomorrow.
A fillet of fish.
And just give you my final opinion.
All right. Don't take a photo.
Compare it with another burger at the same time. Well, let's face it, you're not ordering one burger.
You're not going in there getting two fillet of fish.
We can get the double McChickens now. I wonder if anyone has ever. That's the one thing they haven't tried to push on people is a double fillet of fish.
I wonder if anyone's ever had a McChicken and a fillet of fish in the same meal.
Oh. Why would you rip the McChicken?
I guess if you're one of those people who goes, I'll just have two of every animal, like Noah.
It's McDonald's.
McNoah's. McNoah meal.
We would love your thoughts on the fillet of fish. Hit us up on the socials.
I'll take a McFrickin' wrap over the fillet of fish.
Join into the. I don't even. It's not even.
You can't have apple pie. Apple pie is my favorite thing at McDonald's.
Play this one. this is next level. Get an apple pie, dip it into a chocolate shake.
Oh, no.
Thank me later.
But I don't like chocolate shakes.
Well, then get a whatever flavor shake you like. You may as well just have vanilla ice cream. No. But if you that's what you like, get that.
I'm very white.
What do you...
For European, you were very white.
McDonald's breakfast, Tony, you like them?
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, yeah. No.
So, you know, they've got the double
sausage muffin.
In between the two sausages, McChicken sauce.
No.
That's come from Gino Gambino.
Yeah, he's wrong.
I'm telling you, if a man knows food, and I've tried it, and it was amazing.
Any white sauce between two buns is very soft.
It doesn't need sauce.
It doesn't need it, but it works. I don't know why, and I had an anxiety attack trying to order it at through the drive-thru because I felt like an idiot, but it was nice.
Well, there's a reason you felt like an idiot.
Let's talk about what's coming up.
Oh, a nice segue to me. You've been drinking the same
thing. Did you have a billet of fish?
PCW Flem is in Ferntree Gully on Thursday.
Slam.
Oh, Slam, sorry. Did I say Flem? Sorry. PCW Slam in Ferntree Gully. We'll cut.
I'll tell you what is coming up is any fillet of fish that you ever try and get me to eat, like that will be coming straight back out.
Piece it up.
Here's a point.
So, PCW Slam is in Ferntree Gully on Thursday, the 20th of October. PWA Let's Fucking Go Tour continues at the Roundhouse in Kensington, New South Wales. Do you mind, Tony? Professional here. With Shingo versus Bonza and Moretti. With Shingo versus Bonza and Moretti versus Ricky South. Is that
No. That's two different matches. It's Shingo versus Bonza.
And Moretti. They're attached.
And Mick Moretti versus Ricky South in a steel cage match.
Okay. That's not what it says.
No.
New Horizon Pro Wrestling. I'm sure that's at Tony's favorite place, the Cockburn Youth. I mean, Coburn Youth Center in WA. They got Matt Hayter. Sorry, you've written Matt Hayter.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not spelling his name right until he.
Versus Jared Slate. I assume that's spelled incorrectly as well. PWSA Justice at the Karadinga Sports Center. That sounds made up. Wide Bay. Shout out to Todd. Revenge at Rolga Theatre and Convention Centre in Maryborough, Queensland. Bobby Bishop versus Edward Dusk. There's too many fillet of fishes on this rundown sheet. Wide Bay running a training seminar with Edward Dusk. Everyone should go to that, but don't listen to his dietary tips.
Dietary tips in the macro sense, because he is in great condition.
But not in the taste sense.
That's right.
IWA, the final ride at the St. John's Park Bowling Club. Cowboy Chris Abbott versus Headhunter Rig.
Rig.
He's just Rig now.
Just Rig.
He's
Tony's favorite.
He's a specimen Rig. Sunday, 23rd of October. If you have an idea for a podcast, this is the worst written run sheet in history.
I write it for Tony. I'll write
contact
it
for Rig.
My sincere apologies to all those promotions out there for the last 3 or 4 minutes. I don't think you've got your value.
Yeah, they didn't pay.
Oh, God.
Boys, always a pleasure. We'll do it again next week.
Fingers crossed.
Have we got a guest?
Not yet.
No, it might be 2 weeks in. Catch you whenever we speak to you next, right here on the Turnbuckle.
Fuck the fillet.